For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, once again back with a weekly insight into the world of non-league. Slightly stinted this week due to my overseas travels, but we will be back with the team again next week. But plenty of people to chat to, plenty of guests, and plenty of stuff going on in the non-league world this week. So let's get things underway. Let's find out what we can expect in this week's non-league paper. Joining me on the line, editor Alex Neary. Alex, that's the first month over already, and plenty of drama.
As you would expect. The National League hasn't disappointed. Chesterfield getting off to a flying start and then struggling, and Barnet struggling, and then finding their feet. It's been a full on month. All the leagues have kicked into action. We've had a couple of rounds of the FA Cup, and the FA Vase is kicking off this week. So, yeah, it's all go, and it really has been a full-on month, but that's why we love it.
Yeah, full-on month. A big managerial changes as well. We've had Tom Greaves with his statement about leaving FC United this week. Where FC got rid of John Dreyer. Jay Saunders has gone at Maidstone. And then, obviously, there's the ongoing drama at Billericay. And Harry Wheeler departing, I think, Saturday evening during the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where we start, really, with that football club and their chairman, owner, chairman, whatever you want to call him. It's a bizarre story, but it's just part of the soap opera that is Billericay at the moment, to be honest with you. We actually got a phone call on Saturday night, shortly after we'd sent the paper and the front page, from a source at the club telling us that Harry had been dismissed and relieved of his duties, and we heard that he'd been relieved of his duties via a text message during the game. So there was plenty there, but we just couldn't pull the paper back, and we felt that there wasn't enough there for us to go on concrete evidence. But I put a few calls in on Sunday and spoke to a few people, and I believe that's the way it has happened. Spoke to Harry as well about it, and he was obviously very disappointed. And it's a shame, really, because if you look at Harry Wheeler's record, he brought stability to that football club on the pitch. I think there was 29 games and one defeat. He saw them over the line last season in the Bostic Premier when they were really being hunted down by Dulwich, and it became a two-horse race. So, you know, he got them over the line last season. I think he deserves better, but It's just the way of life at Billericay, I'm afraid. They appear to have an owner who likes to be in the limelight, and it doesn't reflect well.
We did offer Glenn Tamplin the opportunity to come on this week's show, but I haven't heard back from him or his team either. But it's one of those things. Because there's such a focus on non-league from people beyond the non-league world, that they all know about Billericay and all the other stories that go around it. It's one of those things you almost want to. It's a bit like when a kid cries wolf, isn't it? You don't want to cover the story, but you have to because it's so important to non-league. And, you know, the repercussions could be big for non-league. If, you know, Harry Wheeler, Billericay, second in the table, seven games played, 16 points. That's not a bad start for anybody.
Yeah, but I don't think it's these aren't rational footballing decisions that are being made. These aren't decisions that are being made by a man who's looking at what's on the table, and he's not looking at Billericay being second. I think he just either there's some differences there between himself and Harry, or the other rumor is that he just wants to be the manager. He wants to be at the front of the house, giving the orders. I think he has such an ego, and he carries that ego around the club, and I don't think he likes to see other people dictating to the players who he pays the wages for. That's my honest, humble opinion here. I mean, as things stand, the club still have not made, or they hadn't until a couple of hours ago when I checked their Twitter feed and their website. I don't believe they've made a statement about any of this.
I don't believe they're going to put anybody in place before Saturday either, anybody different. So it just... Yeah. We've seen these actions before of, you know, chairmen that have come in, invested lots of money, but haven't been involved in football before. So you sort of, in a way, you sort of allow them that because they're finding their feet. But this is a chairman, somebody that's been involved in football. Well, I remember Glenn as a player when he was at Barking 20, 25 years ago when I first, you know, was following and covering non-league. So it's someone, he understands, he should understand it from every point of view as a fan, as a player, as a manager and as a chairman. But it just, it's almost as if sometimes the wires don't connect and everything goes, everything was, it seemed to be going so well, didn't it? It seemed to have quite a bond when you looked at, you, I think when you covered their pre-season and how things were going with Harry. And you said he seemed to have that great stability there.
Yeah, I think it's all very, you know, when things are going well, that they go well. But as soon as there's a slight spanner in the works, with these people, these powerful people, these egotistical people at these football clubs, then the waters become very choppy very quickly. And I don't think things are ever stable at Billericay. I really don't. I think you look at what happened there last year. I think he sacked his manager at the start of the season. Edwards towards the end of the previous season. He then put himself in the dugout. He then sacked himself. He then reinstated himself. He then put himself to number two. Harry Wheeler then won the title and brought home a league and cup treble at the end of the season. Meanwhile, Glenn Tamplin was on a tie retreat somewhere else. He'd forgotten about football. Billericay had forgotten about him, and the non-league pyramid had kind of forgotten about Glenn. But then he came back in the summer and started giving interviews again and putting himself on the scene. And you're right, Tim. You mentioned earlier about, you know, the non-league. We kind of have to report on what goes on there. We have to follow the story. I find it very frustrating that we have to do that, actually. I find it very frustrating that I have to put this man and his opinions in the paper that I edit. I really do, because there are more important things going on in non-league football. There are more important and more honest stories out there and more honest people, in my opinion. So I'm afraid at the moment it's life goes on at Billericay, and we wait for the statement, we wait for the new manager to be unveiled. I'm hearing rumours that they might ask Harry to come back because there's been such a backlash from the fans. My message to Harry would be, you know, if you've got anything about you, which I know he has, he's a good guy. I know him personally. I get on well with him. You know, my message to Harry would be, I think there are better things out there for him, but you know, we'll see what happens there.
Hey, what you say about better things out there? FC United job, you know, it's a completely different club, you know, fan owned. The way that runs, it's had its own difficulties as well. And Tom Greaves departing quite sadly, really, this week.
Yeah, that's a completely different scenario there. I think Tom Greaves is a club legend. You know, the fans hold him dearly to their hearts. He just wants to play. I think it's just too much for him to have on his plate at the moment. And you can understand that move. He was taken on board last season in a player manager capacity. He has the legendary status behind him, and he did reasonably well. And it's been a difficult start to the season for them, but it's a huge opportunity for somebody, that job. It's had stability as a club in the past, and as you say, fan owned. So a huge opportunity. You look at somebody like Matt Janssen, who left Chorley in the summer, currently out of work. We tried to get in touch with Matt last week, actually, just to have a general chat with him. We spoke to his agent. I think he's definitely out there looking for the right job, but it has to be the right job, he says. And FC United, in terms of location, in terms of he would have the pedigree as a manager to go in there and deal with those players, to deal with the size of a club like that, taking Chorley to the playoffs for the last two seasons. So he's certainly somebody who I could see moving into that role or creating an interest for FC United. But yeah, sad to see Tom Greaves go. He's one of football's good guys, got a great reputation, and we wish him all the best.
And then the other one I mentioned John Dry going at Ware, which is another curious one. You know, Ware, I think Craig Edwards was only in the job a few weeks last year, and then John Dry came in, but that's seemingly too much there. And then Jay Saunders at Mason United as well departing.
Yeah, the Jay one is, I think that's the one that's really rocked us. The Glenn Tamplin, Billericay saga aside, that kind of rocked us just because it's such a stupid story. The Jay Saunders and Maidstone story rocked is because I just think that I think that the job he has done there won't be bettered, taking them from as a step four club all the way up to the National League Premier, and the respect he has, the fact he probably could have gone out to a football league club in the summer. I know Macclesfield were interested, and I know that there was a potential deal that could have been done there. I'm just very, very surprised that that relationship has soured to the point where he was moved on. I'm very, very surprised. I just do wonder, Tim, with clubs like Maidstone, are they being realistic about their ambitions? Are they saying to themselves, look, we want to be a football league club. We're one step away from the football league. And to get us there, I think we need somebody else in charge here. Are Maidstone really going to get a better manager than Jay Saunders?
It's interesting you're saying that. You mentioned about stability earlier at Billericay as well, and we're going to talk to Anthony Johnson later on, who's now at Chester. Had so much success at Salford with Bernard Morley, and then it just sort of came to an end, and then they decided that they wanted to go. But stability is so important to clubs that have had success. The instant success where clubs have gone on, you know, had a couple of decent seasons, but it's all been about instantaneous stuff. They've not lasted, and they're the ones that have then, you know, maybe had a double relegation when they dropped out of the National League, and then they have to start again, and it's always more difficult there. Whereas actually, the clubs that are building it slowly and building the proper stepping stones and cornerstones for the club, they're the ones that seem to survive and run properly as a club. And I know, as a fan, you want success, but you also want your club to be there as well, don't you?
Yeah, we all want success as fans. But your club's got to be stable. It's got to be in safe hands. And I look at Maidstone United under Jay Saunders, and there were very few clubs that could beat them on being so stable. If you were a player and you went to play for Maidstone, you knew very, very clearly that Jay Saunders was the manager and he was in charge. He has so much respect from where he's taken that club to, from where they were 4, 5, 6 years ago. And I just think it's a little bit sad that a club like Maidstone United are kind of losing touch with where they are, and all clubs have ambitions. I understand that, but it's a real shame that Jay's left that club, because I think he could have left in the summer. As I said, Macclesfield were definitely in the frame, and he was very, very close to leaving, but he stuck with Maidstone United. But I do believe that another club will come into him very, very quickly. And I think he has definitely got Football League aspirations, and he's got the credentials to manage in the Football League. So a big loss. It's Maidstone United's loss, but I'm sure somebody else will pick up on the game very shortly.
Yeah, and just before I let you go, Alex, we've obviously had the restructure over the summer, and we've spoken a lot about restructure, how it's needed, how it's been good. And then you look at some of the tables. I'm looking at the Bostic South East at the moment. So Division 1 of that Bostic South. There's 6 clubs with 3 wins from 3, but there's also 6 clubs on 0 points. Now, it's early on in the season. There's only 3 games that they've played there. But is that maybe showing the strengths and the weaknesses of this restructure?
Well, a wise man told me that you never look at league tables in August.
There's a wise man in football? Where is he?
No, there isn't. But it's bizarre. The top 6 all on maximum points, and the bottom 6 are all on 0. Hey, listen, there's a long way to go. There's been a lot of football played. It's a rocky old month, August, for everyone involved in football, for managers, for players, for journalists. It's a testing old time. So I'm pretty sure that things will settle down. But it is quite a unique league table, I must admit, looking at it that way. It's very, very top heavy, but things will settle down, and the month of September and the month of October, those are the 2 months that kind of the leagues really start to take shape for me. So we'll see where we go.
So anything else that we can look forward to in this weekend's non-league paper?
Well, there's the FA Vars coverage, as I say, so we kick off the coverage there, and it's a full league programme. We are actually kind of in the early throes of putting it together, to be honest with you. So there will be plenty of comments from Matt Badcock on the managerial merry-go-round and the goings-on at Maidstone.
Is Mr. Badcock the wise man of football, then, maybe? Maybe we need to rebadge him.
Yeah, I think he's one of the wise men, definitely. I don't think there are too many. Well, I mean, you'd be one of the wise men, maybe, but he is, Badders is certainly one of the wise men. So he'll be commenting on the managerial saga. Unfortunately, he will have to throw his weight behind the Billericay saga as well. There's stacks in there, as usual. And we're, like I say, we're just kind of working towards a busy day tomorrow and a very hectic Saturday, but we look forward to it.
We love all the effort you put in, Alex, and it's always great that you can spare a few minutes for us. Have a fantastic weekend, as I know you will, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks, mate.
Okay, even before the season started in National South, Saturday's league game between Woken and Billericay Town looked like a big game. With Woken top with 18 points from 7 games and Billericay second with 16 points from 7, it really is the standout game of the weekend. Woken manager Alan Dowson certainly seems to have found his feet at the Cards, and I'm sure he's relishing this weekend's match. Is that right, Alan?
Yeah, well, everybody's looking forward to it. I think Billericay will win the league, I think. You know, I think everybody's playing for second, third, fourth, to be honest. I'm not going to kid myself. They've got the resources. They've got the players. So we'll try to win every game we possibly can. But I think you've got to be realistic as well. It's the first time we're going to a game this season where we're underdogs. And we're sort of, you know, it's a challenge and look forward to it. We cannot wait to won the training ground now, looking forward to it. But I'm not going to kid myself as a season. I think everybody thinks in our league, Billericay will win it. And, you know, I think we're... But it doesn't stop having a good go at them, you know.
And, I mean, you can't have missed the drama that's been going on at Billericay Town and even more this week. So the opposition is managerless and they're forever sort of seriously distracted by non-footballing matters. Now, how do you work? Do you just ignore all of that, get on with what you need to do?
Somebody told us about it, but I do go and show some media, as you know. I do go on Twitter. I do go on fans' forums. I only get to read it when it's in a non-league paper, to be honest, or somebody tells us. So it's one of them where I don't really get involved in it. Some people said they lost the manager and you might be coming back, and somebody said the chairman's taking the team or whatever. But I honestly knew that it's just after they say if my kids sometimes you know, tell us little things while going on, but I honestly don't take any notice of it. I just get on with it. I've been in the management game quite a long time now and I've learned not to do it. So I do blank myself on all of it, to be honest. So we've got to go against, obviously, the favourites to win the league. We've got to go and give a good account of ourselves and we've got to have a very good one. Listen, we're really looking forward to it, but I'm just being realistic. The resources they've got, I can't see anybody else topping them in the table. So, but we'll have a real go at doing that, but I've just got to be realistic as well.
Yeah, and I mean, it's early days in the season, but you're sitting top, but it depends who you've played, who the others have played. But what do you think of the standard that you've seen so far this season?
It's all right. It's, you know, like, the only thing is everybody says, oh, the Premier's going to be the hardest league, and everybody says, oh, the Conference North's the hardest league and the Conference South. Well, I've never known so many messes come down to our level, to be honest. I'm not, you know, it's one of them where I can't accept that. There'll be a few decent teams with bigger support, and I imagine the standards bigger clubs like Torquay in this league and Woking in this league and Dulwich in this league and Slough Town in this league, and I think it's getting stronger fan wise but I'm not so sure about players, to be honest. I've got a decent bunch of players and so have a lot of teams, but I've never ever played a game in this level where they've been outstanding. The closest it's ever come when I had obviously Jamal Lure, who's doing very well at Portsmouth now, but I've never really seen any outstanding players in it. But you sort of get the best of the rest, really. But you know, it's a good standard, but not as big as they're all making out, to be honest.
And obviously, many were surprised by your move in the close season from Hampton and Richmond Borough. But after playoff disappointment, was it just time for change for you?
Yeah, you think you learn by it, you know, and you learn where I think I was at King's Union too long. I was probably at Walton Hersham too long, to be honest, you know, and I didn't want to make the same mistake again. We had a great ride at Hampton and all that, but I honestly thought that I couldn't have done it, obviously, again, if you like, you know. So I thought the time was right. Working, I have had a job I've wanted for quite a long time in the back of my mind. I think it's a big club to have a go at. So yeah, when it did come up, I thought I went for the interview and the next day you get it. So it's one of them where it happened quite quickly after the games, but it was definitely the right decision for me, and it was a right decision for Hampton, and I think it was a right decision for Woking as well. So I think it's a win all round, you know.
Yeah, and you've come in, you've turned around the staff quickly, you've appeared to have turned around the fortunes on the field as well. And has it worked a lot better than you expected?
A little bit, yeah. The bottom line is we've had an awful run of injuries, so I'm surprised where we are at the minute, to be honest, because we've had Charlie Wasmer out, Jolly out long-term, haven't played, I think they've played 45 minutes football between them. You know, we had Ian Gill, he's out now and all that, you know. So Hayley, my centre-forward, I've seen he's been out. And so you look and you're thinking, Craig, I wouldn't mind a bit of luck. Big Dwayne Akpong couldn't have played this weekend, like last weekend. So I think we're looking, thinking, oh, we've been a little bit unfortunate on the injury front, because obviously I've seen Wasmer and Jolly, there's two big hitters from Hampton, really, and we haven't kicked the ball for us. So I am surprised where we are, to be honest. But you do, like, I never try to draw games, I always try to win them. You know, I'm, as a manager, whatever you do and whatever happens, you've got to win a game of football. So it's one of them where I've got to win matches, that's for certain. So the bottom line is, that's what we'll try to do. And obviously, at the minute, we're top of the league. There's only 78 games gone, so we're not getting, whatever, seven games gone. We're not getting too carried away, to be honest, you know.
And what about the start of the season? Were you given any targets? Is it just consolidation so you can get your feet under the table and build a club?
I think so. I think we're not like trying to build clubs. I've tried to get involved in the community side of things and the sponsorship side of things. So I knew that. I think the bottom line is that we were trying to expect to be around the playoffs, to be honest. I think that's what the sort of said in the board. I think it was one of them where, you know, we can get around the playoffs this year. You know, we'll be quite pleased with that. But again, when I said that, you just... You go along with it, of course you do, and I know a club like Woking should be round the playoffs. But the bottom line is, I'm very realistic. I just try to win every game I can. So, the bottom line, you know, will I set any targets? No, if I win every game, I'll win the league anyway. So, I'm best off just trying to win every single game I play.
And obviously, you mentioned Woking, a big club, big history. You know, people like Jeff Chappell. Is there a feeling that it's a club that just needs a little bit of luck and then to push on?
I wouldn't say it looks like we're a little bit of building up. I think we've had it for a few years now where it hasn't quite went to plan. It hasn't quite got to be sort of wanted. You know, it's sort of dwindled a little bit, but that's because a lot more bigger teams are coming around the place now in the leagues. You know, where years ago, Woking probably had one of the biggest budgets and the biggest, one of the biggest clubs in non-league football and was successful under Jeff. But it hasn't happened for 20-odd years. So the bottom line is, it has needed, I think, to get beneath the surface again and start trying to build a few foundations, and that's what we're trying to do.
And are you working just at the top level of the first team, or is that filtering down to the sort of the under-18s and the youth level below that?
I want to try to keep my eyes on everything I do, and that includes trying to help out on shirt sponsors and things like that, and try to help out on little sponsor deals and with a commercial as well as that. So I do try to put my life into this, if you like. I wouldn't just concentrate on the first team, which is the most important thing, obviously, and probably the only thing deep down, really, what matters deep down. But you do got to pay wages, you do got to get sponsors in the club, you do got to try to make ends meet. So I do like to try to help out when I can.
And what about, you mentioned your old clubs and that. Are they the sort of, you strike me as someone that's, you know, once a club's in your blood, it's there forever. Are they the results you still look out for on a Saturday?
Yeah, of course. You meet a lot of great people there. You know, I met some great people, you know, at Hampton. You know, I had a great time there. I met some excellent people at King's Dunion and at Walton Hersham. So I always look out for them and I always want them to do well. As new a guy McCann's went into Hampton, he's a great manager and he's doing a great job as well. And, you know, I always wish him well. I'm not wanting to be bitter. And look at them, obviously, over Boxing Day and New Year, you want to beat them. Of course you do, but you still wish them well. You still wish the people in the club well. And it's the same as King's Dunion, the same as Walton Hersham. I always look out for their results.
And sort of looking around, you mentioned Billericay, you think should sort of win the league with their budget, their resources, and you want to be there or thereabouts. Yeah. What about the rest of the teams there? Is there anybody else that you sort of, you maybe might set your stall out slightly differently when you play them?
Yeah, we'll never set our stall out differently. Well, that's one thing we won't do. We'll take every team on in our terms, to be honest. So we'll not be changing tact at all. But, you know, you have got the Chemsad Stills, you have got the Wheelston Stills, and you know, you have got Concord, who infested quite well. And then, you know, you have got the Slough Towns of the World who have come into our league and all that, you know, Hemel Hempstead, the all is up there and all that, you know. So there's a lot of good teams in our league, to be honest.
And there's a few teams now that are full time as well. Is that anything you'd ever look at?
Torquay, I think in the conference south, no, not really. But Torquay on, we've got a good manager on Gavi Edwards. I know he's getting a bit of stick lately, but he'll turn them down. And they're full time. They'll be up there at the end of the season. I know that. Especially if he's in charge. And the bottom line is, you know, they do full time. I think you can get a better player in our league being part time. I really do. You go a league up, you've probably got to go full time because you've got Tuesday night travel to Gateshead or Halifax and things like that, you know. So I do think when you go up a league, you probably have to adjust to going full time. But in our leagues, I always think you get a better player if you're part time. I really do.
So maybe that's a conversation we'll be having this time next season, then, Alan. Yeah.
I hope so. No, I really do. I hope so. I keep my fingers crossed.
Well, we wish you well at the weekend with that big game and for the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll speak to you again soon. But thanks for giving us your time and speaking to us. Thanks a lot.
Not a problem.
So to the National North again. Chorley still sitting top with 7 wins from 7. Plenty of frustrated managers out there, but probably none more so than joint managers at Chester, Anthony Johnson and Bernard Morley. 4 points from just 4 games so far, after a flood caused damage and led to postponements at the Diva, and then another game off due to opposition Nuneaton Borough's international call-ups. Anthony Johnson, do you sometimes feel the world is against you?
Yeah, well, we were told a couple of weeks ago that by one of the committee members that they think the club's cursed, you know, obviously in jest, and the longer we've been at the club, you start to believe it a little bit. There seems to be no sort of luck whatsoever. You know, we get the stadium damage and a few games called off, and then all of a sudden we're getting one postponed due to the opposition having international calls, which is, you know, bizarre at our level of football, but, you know, it's just the way things are going at the minute.
And how does that affect your preparations? Obviously, you're new to the club, new players brought in, new squads, you're trying to get everybody to gel. Does it help you gel as players if you're not playing games, or do you just want to get out on the pitch and play those games?
Well, I think what it does is, obviously, it affects the match sharpness, the match fitness, it affects the team cohesion. Obviously, we're not playing games. You look to try and arrange friendlies during midweek, but there's nobody available because they're playing themselves. So, it's tough. You know, we've actually lost probably 1 or 2 sessions as well, in the sense of working towards opposition and find out that game's postponed. So, essentially, that hour and a half, 2 hour session where we've been using it to work on what we're going to look like against a certain opposition has almost been screwed up and thrown in the bin, you know, because that game's been postponed. But it is what it is. You know, we get lots of postponements at this level around January, February sort of time. But to get it in August is a bit bizarre. We just have to keep going. You know, it's easy to use it as a negative and look at it, you know, and think what it could have been. But we can't do that. We've got to stay positive around the lads, work on 1 or 2 things. And we've got a couple of bad results that we've got to put right. So like the extra time on the training ground at this moment in time is helping us, to be honest.
And does it make it easier for you then to scout other opposition and sort of get to know what the rest of the level's like in this division? Or are you just concentrating on your lads and just, as you say, trying to put those difficult, disappointing results behind you and then move on as soon as you can and get some wins under your belt?
Well, we're always trying to do our diligence on whoever we play. You know, you don't want to concentrate solely on the opposition. Everything's about what we do. But obviously, with our game being off on Monday, against Bank Holiday against Hereford, we got the chance to go and look at Guiseley away at Alton, we play this Saturday. So, you know, there are the positives. You know, we'd have got a scouting report anyway, but there's nothing watching the game and seeing it with your own eyes of how the position play, what set pieces look like, who the danger men are, and, you know, that type of stuff. So, listen, for every bit of negative that's come of it, there's also been 1 or 2 things that we can look back and go, right, well, without that, we wouldn't have been able to do this. So, you know, in that sense, it's helped us a little bit. But, you know, like you said, there's nothing better than, especially after a bad result, getting back on the pitch and trying to put the wrongs right.
And what's the vibe like? Obviously, you can't get the games on at the stadium. What's the vibe like at the ground? You know, everybody was disappointed to see that flood damage. And I think there were probably a few people, you know, things alerted the wrong way in their brain, thinking that maybe there were actually issues. But it was proper flood damage that damaged some electrics, and it was just pure safety, wasn't it, that those games were off. But has that brought everybody further together behind the scenes as well, off the field?
Yeah, there's a lot of frustration. The games that we've lost have been against Hereford, Bank Holiday Monday, SC United, Kidderminster Harriers. They're 3 big well-known clubs with good away following. So the club are quite aware that we've probably lost out on revenue in terms of away support, especially now going to a Tuesday night. Obviously, with being a fan-owned club, the cash flow has sort of been hit as well. So there's all that type of stuff that's going on in the background. But in terms of the damage, you know, we've never known anything like it. We had a bit of a storm, a bad storm on the Sunday after our defeat to Blyth. And the rain's come in incessantly into the control and PA room. And the circuit board, I'm not an electrician, but the circuit board was under
half a foot of water. You know, in any walk of life, you know, it's absolutely imperative that you get that dried out and sorted as soon as you can, because if you start messing about with things like that, you know, it becomes a danger to life. So the club was, or the main stand almost, was condemned for a couple of weeks. At this moment in time, there's people working around the club 24 hours, you know, literally working nights. The chairman, the committee, they're there every single minute of the day. You know, these people, these volunteers, you know, these fans, have got their own jobs to do, but they're down there every single minute, every single hour of the day. We're on our way down there in a minute for training this evening. And it's all on to the pump, but like you said, what it does do is it creates that, I wouldn't say a siege mentality, but it creates that that family feel again. Everyone's sort of, you know, trying to pull in the same direction to try and get the game, you know, the home games on as soon as possible.
And obviously, the last time we spoke to you, we were celebrating your additional success at Salford City, and then your departure from there. That was unexpected for certainly most of us, and no doubt difficult. But was it as amicable as those things can be? I mean, are you welcome back there now?
Oh, absolutely. Believe it or not, my dad, got before it happened, bought a season ticket for this season. He's been down to a few of the games this season, watching the games. He's one of the local clubs to where Bernard and I live. We've not been down personally. You know, it's not the right thing to do, I don't believe. But we had amazing times at the football club. It was only four games ago that we won the league. Brilliant, fantastic people. You know, how it ended, you know, has been through all the papers and radios, etc. And we shook hands and we've moved on. You know, they're doing well themselves. They've got a fantastic manager, some great players that they've brought in. But I wish them nothing but success. But what we're trying to do, he's built mine and Bernard's reputation with a new start at Chester. Really good pre-season, fantastic first two games, and all of a sudden you get beat 8-1 off the back of absolutely, you know, no signs of it happening. Yeah, it happens in football. You know, tough part of the job for me and Bernard, because obviously we've never been in that position before, and I would assume Chester have never been in that position before. The only time you sort of see them scores and results tend to be when it's one of the nation minnows are playing against one of the sort of superpowers, and it was difficult to take. You know, we built up a lot of trust in the summer because we've had some tough times at the club, and I think that one result sort of set us back a little bit. But you know, I think you're well aware of what me and Bernard are like as characters. You know, we're quite tough mentally, but quite resilient people. So we'll be putting absolutely everything into it to ensure that we get back to what we were doing two games ago, which was a fantastic performance and a great win at Curzon, winning 3-0. So. You know, all eyes on the game Saturday against Guiseley away, another away game, but you know, one we're really confident about going into and believe that we can get the 3 points from.
And is it situations like that where the joint manager position really helps? You know, you talked to us before about how fantastic it is when you're winning and you've got your best buddy alongside you and that sort of thing. But when you suffer that sort of defeat and you're in a new club and everybody, there's obviously whispers going on. It must be great as well to have your best mate alongside you and just to sort of perk you up.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I was reading Tom Greaves' statement leaving SC United yesterday or the night before. Absolutely unbelievably written, heartfelt statement. You know, the stuff that he's put out there, the reason that he's had to resign, you know, probably without saying it, he's been on his own a lot of the time. I know he's got his coaching staff. But I think this is where, and I've said it loads and loads about me and Bernard, I think this is where it comes in, where you're on the phone to each other all the time. When everyone has an assistant, everyone has a coach, but me and Bernard are best friends off the pitch. And I think that helps big time when you've got them struggles going on, when there's quite a bit of negativity knocking about. Again, something that me and Bernard have had for years and years. We keep each other strong. You know, it's worked for us when we've been winning games, keeping our feet planted, keeping our feet on the ground. And it's the opposite when you're losing games. You know, not to get too low when you lose, same with not getting too high when you win. But we'll carry on doing what we're doing. We have a massive belief in what we've done over the last, you know, this is our 10th season. We have a massive belief in what we're doing. A couple of dodgy results, a couple of poor performances, you know, won't knock us back. It just makes you want to, you know, prove them doubters and then naysayers, you know, wrong even more so. There's no better way than rebounding straight away with a win. So that's what everything's about now. You know, working towards the next couple of sessions for the game on Saturday.
And you say about rebounding. Was there ever a chance that you and Berman might have just like a few months on the sideline and just enjoy life a little bit rather than go straight back into football? Or was the Chester too good to turn down?
Well, it's funny because I've been reading a little bit about managers that come out of the game and stuff like that, and Gary Coleman, who, when he left Wigan, said that he should have gone on a big holiday when before he went to took the job at Chesterfield, and it sort of made me snigger a little bit, because I went straight on holiday. But prior to going on holiday, the day before we took over the job at Chester, and I honestly don't have one single regret about it. We're at, you know, as everybody knows, just a sleeping giant in non-league terms, in terms of the crowds and that type of stuff. And that's the type of club, that's the type of, I hate this word, but it's probably the only one I can think of. Yeah, that's the kind of project that me and Bernard felt like we needed to get our teeth into, trying to, you know, turn a big club back round and get in the good side back then. And it's something, as I said to you before, we massively believe that we can do. And I know loads of people hear it and say it a bit cliche, but the wife wouldn't have wanted me stuck at home at weekends. You know, I'm telling you now, kids especially wouldn't have done. So it's in my blood. You know, I'm only 35, but I've been managing with the best pal for the last 10 years. And I'm hoping to do it for the next 30, you know, and I don't want any time off it at all. So no regrets whatsoever. You know, it's easy to start thinking negative after a couple of bad results. But we won the league last year. We went 5 games without winning at one point. The year before, we finished 4th and didn't win for 7. I don't want Chester fans listening to this panic and think that's what we're going to be doing now, because we're not. But we've been there before. You know, all managers have them little rocky times. And it's, you know, as you just alluded to there, it's about how you respond and how you bounce back with things. And that's what it's all about.
It was one of those appointments in non-league. Sometimes you just spoke to everybody after you'd taken or been given the Chester job, and everybody said, of course, it's the perfect fit. So there's obviously, you know, the majority of non-league think that you're going to do it, and, you know, we certainly do. Have you been given any particular targets for this season?
Well, the first thing that, when we sat down, the committee, or the people that we, you know, interviewed, was basically said, it's about consolidation this season. What a lot of clubs, as you, when they get relegated out of the National League, is they tend to have a double relegation because they go that hard at it straight away. There's no real plan or strategy in place, and we got told to consolidate. Me and Bernard, being the way we are, said, look, we don't want to sort of use them type of words, because if we start using them words around the club, it's a mentality that seeps in. You know, success to us is finishing top 7, obviously, the playoffs, which is what everyone else wants to do. But, you know, expectation levels change throughout a season. If you win 3 games, people think you're going to win the league. If you lose 3, you're the worst team that anyone's ever seen. And this is what I said to you before. It's massively important as managers at any level that you keep feet on the ground, whether you're winning or you're losing. For us, success is still top 7. Do I believe we can get there? Absolutely. Because if I didn't ever think or believe that we could recruit the right type of players and the right type of staff that gets to that position at any club, then I wouldn't be in the game. I wouldn't do it. I would go and spend time with my wife and the family. So we've got massive belief in what we're doing. For us, success is defined by winning games on the short term, and long term, you know, finishing in the top 7. But as a football club, they've had tough times. They've had some really hard times over the last few years with the financial problems last year and obviously the relegation. And they're just absolutely desperate as a support base, desperate for something to cheer about. And we saw that at Curzon when we beat Curzon 3-0. But then within 4 or 5 days, as I said to you, that trust has been built up over the last few months. We're dented big time. And we know as a group that we don't owe it to our, you know, just to ourselves, but we look for the supporters to show that everything that we've talked about isn't just lip service. And that the actions that we're doing on the training ground and the pitch are sort of portrayed in Andy's game. Looking forward to it. You know, it's easy to be critical, over-critical yourselves, but, you know, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. I know there's a lot of buzzwords and cliches that I've given you there, but there's so much that's gone wrong with the football club over the last few months. The supporters are just absolutely desperate for some hope to cling on to.
You mentioned the 3 games that you've lost. I mean, that they're massive, even on a Tuesday, and that's revenue that disappears for the club for not having them on the Saturday or the bank holiday Monday. There was obviously new investment came in, you know, during some. Off the field, everything sounds like it's in a good position. Obviously, cash flow is always going to be an issue. I think that's an issue at every football club. Is it management expectations as well for you, for those fans? Because you want to do well, but you look at those clubs, you know, like those 3 clubs where you've had the games postponed. It's such a strong division this year. Yeah, even top 7, you've got to go somewhere. You've got to get going.
Yeah, and this is where I'm a big believer in expectations change throughout the season. You know, they might not have been so high before we came in. We talked of good sort. We get the right type of players in. Expectation levels change again. You go and beat them in your first two. Then you lose two. And everything's changing all the time. And this is where I say about managing that expectation. You're absolutely spot on. There might be, you know, sides. I mean, Tamworth up until November last year in the playoffs, you know, for the first 4-5 months of the season, they got relegated. So their expectation levels would have been changing all the time as well. We're not at a Salford City anymore where the demands were win the league, win promotion. We knew that. We absolutely knew that's what we had to do. Now, there'll be elements of support at every club that want to win the league, but there's also got to be that hint of realism and understanding of where you are with budgets and support bases and stuff like that. But we're at a good football club. We're at a club that is probably lower than where it should be. But you've also got Stockport County, you've got Darlington, you've got Boston, you've got Kiddie, you've got Chorley, you've got all these sides in the same league. You know, much bigger clubs than what are in the National League. For whatever reason, they've fallen on hard times or relegations. And now we're all after the same thing. There's only seven teams that can finish there. So what are we doing differently? That's the big thing. That's the big message that we always say to the lads. What are we doing differently that everyone else is trying to achieve for us to get there? And, you know, as I said to you, it dents it. When you lose a game of football, you almost feel like you have to go back to the drawing board. But sometimes it's a case of keep doing what you're doing, tweak it a little bit. We'll get there if we have a belief in what we do. But just, you know, we've just got to stick together and keep working hard. And that's, you know, that's the one bit that I can say to the lads is that mentally they're strong lads. You know, they understand the situation, what's been said, what's happened, the negativity knocking about a little bit, not just because of what's going on the pitch, but obviously what's going off it. And sticking together, that's always the big thing for us. You know, it's a bit of an alien position for me and Bernard, for a lot of the lads, to be where we are and what we've gone through over the last few weeks. But that belief that we have, you know, that mentality, that it'll change, you know, is always just around the corner.
And obviously, when you were at Salford, you and Bernard gave up your other jobs to go full time there. And how does it work at Chester for you guys? Because you're a bit further afield.
Yeah, again, they put it on to us. They said, look, this is the budget. We were full-time last season. Ideally, as a football club, it would be perfect to stay full-time, but it was absolutely impossible to stay full-time with the budget that we have. I'm not complaining about the budget. I'm just saying, you know, it meant that we could get better part-time football players as opposed to, you know, probably having younger first-year, second-year pros and probably having 90% of them in your first 11. So, me and Bernard are part-time the football coach, part-time the teeth, part-time. We're all back at work. It's something we've always done, except for last year, obviously, with a full-time season at Salford. It was an absolute dream come true to be able to have that year. And it's something me and Bernard want to do now. You know, it's something that we want to do with Chester in the next 12 months, 2 years, if possible. But again, it goes back to what I said about the right plan, the right strategy being in place and how we can do it and when we can do it. There's no point doing it if the club are languishing at the bottom end of the Conference North and the crowds are going down. You know, it's almost a double-edged sword because to get the crowds through the door, which raises the extra revenue, the performance has to be right on the pitch. So, you know, we'll look at it month by month. We'll keep an eye on what we're doing in the league table, all that type of stuff. And, you know, hopefully we can get back to what Chester were doing last year in terms of full-time, what me and Bernard were doing in full-time, because not just enjoying it, but It's just a totally different way of life, you know, for the players, the recovery. People don't seem to pick that up. I think they think, let's train for an hour in the morning and go home and play computer games. But it's the recovery process, you know, at any level of football. The lads are breaking tarmac up or selling, you know, things over the phone or whatever, sat at a computer desk. All the different little aspects of jobs that people have to do when they could be sat at home recovering. And it's something that is a big part of the plan that we're looking to do, you know, individually, personally for me and Burn, but also as a football club.
Well, I suppose I better let you get off to training, really. But Anthony Johnson, it's been fantastic talking to you again. It's always fascinating talking to you because there's so much passion and insight that comes from your dulcet tones. It'll be great to maybe stand alongside you one day at the dugouts and see whether it's just as graceful on a Saturday as well. I'm not sure it always will be, but I wish you well at the weekend and hopefully we'll speak to you again during the season.
You're a good man. Appreciate it. Thanks.
So, as Alex Neary from the Non-League paper mentioned earlier on in the show, the FA Vase gets underway this weekend. And after so many years of providing Vase successes, let's head to the northeast of England. And a club I don't think we've featured before on the show. Now, I know it's all about winning, but growing up, we always wanted to support a winning side and step forward this week's FA Vase preview game and Northern League Division 2 side, Esh Winning. What a great name, who take on Whitley Bay on Saturday in the first qualifying round. Joining us on the line, Esh Winning coach, Bobby Coltman. Good evening, Bobby.
Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm good. Now, I say it's a great name, and it's the sort of name that it evokes fantastic non-league games and things like that. But I also looked at some of the pictures on your website. It looks like a great place to play non-league football as well.
Yeah, so we've got a lovely little ground. It's just outside a small village and sits right in the middle of a valley. So it's a nice little ground, really quiet, but surrounded in like a really picturesque kind of setting. So, very nice to come along and watch a game of football there, in my opinion.
And what about the name? Any idea what the Esh Winning is all about?
Esh Winning is a village that we're located in, actually. So it's just a coincidence that it's got Winning in the name, but that's basically where that's come from.
Okay. I saw somewhere, there was one of these internet facts that you don't know whether to believe or not. You'd like to believe that at one point the club was called Esh Winning Pineapple as well. So, I mean, if that's true, then you surely are the greatest named football club in the land.
Well, that's news to me, that one. But I think the club's been around for quite a long time and got a bit of a mixed history. So that might be in there somewhere. But definitely news to me.
So we got the FA Vase this weekend, and quite a big name visiting you as well. Does that make it a big game for the side? Does it make it more complicated? You know, how's the club see the FA Vase this year?
We're going to look at it as an opportunity. It's quite exciting to have one of the big teams come and visit the ground, and you know, hopefully there's a good gate there as well. But even though we haven't had all the best results that we'd like so far this season, we've played some decent sides as well, and we've been doing okay. So I'd like to think we'll be able to give them a decent game and see if we can hang in there and see what comes of it, really. Because obviously progressing into the next rounds would be a massive thing financially for the club. But just, I think all the players are excited, looking forward to the challenge, and just see what comes of it on Saturday, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think 638 clubs in the FA Vase this year, 218 ties. I think with 5 walkovers this weekend. The Northeast has provided, you know, some massive names and Vase successes: South Shields, Morpeth, North Shields, Spennymoor in just recent years. Is the FA Vase perhaps the biggest competition for Northeastern clubs?
I don't know really. I suppose in the division that we're in, it's obviously a massive bonus if you can get through a couple of rounds, because financially it's very rewarding. And then if you look at the teams in the divisions above, I suppose sometimes that glory of heading to Wembley towards the end of the season can be like a massive carrot for players and for clubs, and I suppose can become a priority later in the season, depending on how well you're doing with success. But like I say, most people are just going to take everything a game at a time and hopefully just get through the next 90 minutes first of all before really targeting cup success.
Yeah, and you said you've had a mixed season so far. It certainly looks like you're scoring goals. Are there particular names that we should be looking out for this weekend?
We have scored quite a few goals. We've been letting them in as well, unfortunately, but there's been quite a mixture as well of what's promising for us is the goals are coming from all over the pitch. We've got a big forward called Nick Marley, who's, you know, one to maybe watch on Saturdays. Real handful for centre-halves. Big, strong lad. But he'd probably admit that he could get a few more goals himself. Club captain's chipped in with a few recently as well, Max Stoker. But that's coming from midfield. So he's put a few long ranges in that he won't stop talking about in training. So there's definitely goals in the team, yeah. So hopefully it could be quite an exciting game for people to come along and watch as well.
And, you know, I've got you on to talk about FA Vase and Esh Winning, but Yeah, that's just one of your jobs, isn't it? I think you're a maths teacher by day, and then you've also got this role as the GB Special Olympics coach.
Yes, I'm a busy guy, yes. So, maths teacher in the core is at the bottom of the pile, really, in terms of the content.
Head teacher's not listening, don't worry.
Yeah, don't tell me boss that, yeah. Yeah, but I've been coaching disability football for around, over 10 years now, and coach the Great Britain national team. So we're putting a squad together and trying to prepare them for the Special Olympics World Games in Abu Dhabi next year. So really exciting opportunity for myself and some other coaches and players. And we're actually going down to St. George's Park just in a couple of weeks' time to get all the lads together for a training weekend. So a lot of hard work going in behind the scenes to try and prepare all that. But it's an exciting time for us, but a busy time as well.
So how does all that work then? As a maths teacher as well, having to have time off, I guess, to go there. And this might be maybe the FA VAR semi-finals clashing with this as well. How's it? What will take priority?
I think the Special Olympics are going to take me priority. Running a national team is obviously huge deal for me, especially after 10 years of volunteering in disability football. So, I mean, 4 years of preparation really goes into a big competition in Abu Dhabi. So I'm new into the Esch winning, and I suppose FA VARs comes around every year, while the Special Olympics, the World Games, only come around once every 4 years. So there's fewer chances to go to these things and go and experience it. So definitely a priority at the minute, but if we're going to get a good win on Saturday, I'll be more than happy with that as well.
And you're playing yourself down, of course, because you said about 10 years of volunteering, but you saw that there were the kids that had disabilities that just weren't, that loved football but didn't have an outlet, and you just started a team.
Yeah, well, at the time, I don't think we really knew what we were getting into, really. We just knew a handful of lads who loved football, and we came across this local league that teams were playing in, and thought, oh, well, these guys would love to be a part of something like that. But since we got, the first training session we had at the club, we didn't have any players turn up, ironically. But now we've got over 50 lads there every week training. We went into some local schools, and there's some really good young players kicking around. And that's kind of been a big catalyst to us having we have a really good team, but also we'll provide for players of all abilities as well. So that's a big part of it. Anyone that can come along the training and feel like they're getting something out of it and being, take away some positives every week. So just, it's a bit of a crazy story looking back at how far we've come, but we wouldn't do it if we weren't enjoying it. And the players are very inspirational to work with. So it's very rewarding, and we just give back as much as we can, because it means the world to a lot of them.
And do you get the opportunity to cross those worlds over? So will some of the lads in the disability team be able to come up and watch Esch winning at the weekend?
Well, it's my first season in with Esch winning this season. So it's something that I'm definitely hoping that over a bit of time we'll be able to maybe cross paths or get some of the lads involved. I've got some really talented players actually in the disability side as well that could probably come along and train, which would be a great experience for them, and just to show them that maybe mainstream football is something that is achievable for them now as well, after training hard in a disability team. So fingers crossed we can kind of open up some sort of pathway there, because I think it would be nice for them to go and come and visit the ground, and I suppose a bit more prestigious than the training that we do in playing on a Sunday morning than it is on a Saturday. So we'll just have to see it at the minute. But I think, hopefully we can tie it in together.
Well, it sounds fantastic. We always love to speak to busy people, because we know that they're passionate about their football. And I guess your passion's got to turn to probably FA VARs this weekend. 3 o'clock kickoff at Esch Winning, visit of Whitley Bay. Any predictions for the game?
Well, it's my first season in, so it is all new to me. So I would hate to hang my hat on anything, but I would like to think we'll put a competitive side out and give them a good run for the money and see what comes. But every one of our games this season's had plenty of goals in. So one thing I can, well, I will predict is it'll be an entertaining match.
and then back to school next week as well.
Yeah, well, looking forward to that on Monday. Yeah, can't wait for to get back to work as well. So yeah, thanks for that reminder.
Well, it's been lovely talking to you, Bobby, and I'm sure we'll get you on before you travel out to Abu Dhabi, just so you can make us feel even more jealous, you can tell us all about the preparations and how things are going, and best of luck at the weekend with Esch winning for the rest of the season.
All right, cheers. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Well, that's it for this week. A big thank you to all of our guests once again. And a big thank you to everybody for listening. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and throughout the week. Join in via social media at Not League Show. Tell all your friends that they can find us every week as well on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, on Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.